All right, I've started to record. I need to. Well, maybe we should just start. That's my established silence that we need to do. Normally we'd have the music come on in here. So this is our first attempt at that live. We're right here in the studio with a live studio audience. Welcome, studio audience. They gave me the thumbs up.
Hey, woo!
Sitting across from me is the notorious Tom. Hey, Tom.
Oh, everything's notorious tonight.
Hey, what's up, John Zilpha? Studio audience.
I can't say one and only because Glenn makes fun of me.
Oh, don't listen to what Glenn has to say.
I don't make fun.
Oh.
I make fun with you.
That's a whole nother thing.
That's a
half another.
Okay.
Three quarters of another.
And here with me is Zilpha.
Hello.
Hey, Zilpha.
Hey, Tom.
All right. And then via Skype from the world at large, we have Mike Tannehill. Hey, Mike.
Hello.
Glenn Oslin.
Hello.
And George.
Hi, everybody.
George, long time no see.
I know. Hey, it's nice to be back.
What brings you back our way?
Hey. Mormondom is always a good, great and exciting place, huh?
Okay. And then via a chat, everybody who's out there. Hey, guys. That doesn't make for good audio.
Yeah, everybody's yelling at their speakers right now. Hey.
So this is our 100th episode, and it's actually, if you counted liberally, it's like our 128th or something like that, because we've had a lot of two-parters. But I've only ever counted the two-parters as a onesie. So that includes conference, which is like a lot of hours.
Yeah, so we should be way over 100.
Right, so I don't even know why we're doing this.
Yeah, this is kind of a pointless.
Yeah. So it's January 2nd. It just so happened as we looked down the line that it sort of lined up for the end of the year with the 100th episode. And so here we are, which means we've actually recorded others that we've just been sitting on, but that's just between you and me.
Yeah, no one else is listening to that.
So, geez, does anybody remember when we started?
Wasn't it in, what, June?
2009.
August?
May or June,
yeah.
June, it was like about around June. We actually started talking about it in May. I think we've gone over this before in the podcast, haven't we?
Yeah,
it
seems like rehashed material.
Yeah.
Well, if you're interested, I think we've done 63 episodes this year.
And there's 56 weeks in a year, so we had a couple double ups, huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, in the past, we've done what we called feedback shows, where we just sort of kind of talked about the podcast. So that's what we wanted to do tonight. So we've brought on some of the regulars, some of the regulars that may have been in the doghouse and not allowed on the air recently, and everybody in between. So welcome, guys, and welcome out there in chat land. Now, please, if you have questions for us, there's a Mike Tannehill. Now, Mike, speaking of which, when I run into people, at parties or whatever, and they'll say they've heard the podcast, and the next thing they always say to me is, "What's up with Mike?" So
wait a minute, this comes up at a party?
This comes up everywhere. I can be in line at the Smiths. And
what
somebody
kind of
saying,
parties you go to?
Oh, hey, you're that Mormon Expression guy. What's up with Mike?
Yeah, before they even say, hey, I like it. No, what's up with Mike? Is he real?
Mike, what's up?
Just doing my thing.
So you really believe and you really think that people should be killed, right?
Yeah, my Lance, I have heard more about your stupid javelin comment than I've heard about anything ever. Mike, please tell.
That was actually Glenn's comment.
Tell everybody.
Are you looking for a recant here?
Tell everybody right now that you're not going to stick a javelin in anyone's heart.
I'm not, unless Harry Reid comes close to me.
Oh, come on.
Oh.
you mean if Harry Reid comes close to your wife? There you go. That would be it.
And didn't you want to recant the Abraham name thing too, Mike?
I don't know that I need to recant it. I think I just slightly misphrased it a little, but
misphrased. Okay, go ahead and clarify for everybody. What exactly did you mean by the names thing?
Okay, the podcast hasn't aired yet, but we recorded one on the Abrahamic Covenant that's going to be coming out soon. And we go over what it means to have your family sealed to you and how the glory thing works as far as becoming a god. So,
but the last names really don't mean anything, is that right?
I don't know how to – I mean, if you're sealed to your family, then your family name's involved.
Why would it matter what the name is?
What's that?
Why would it matter what your name is? I mean, people
because
just make
those
up. That's
your identity. That's who you are. That's how – you know, you're Zilpha Larson. That's your name. That's how you
– But that's just because my parents put that on a birth certificate.
Now, well, let's – I'm going to defend Mike here, and I'm going to try to be sensitive. So in the temple, there's a part where you use your own name. Mike, is that right. What you're sort of building on?
Yeah, but then why do you need a code name if you need your own name?
Sacred name.
Wait. Yeah, there's no code names. What are you talking about?
The alternative.
I knew what you meant.
Identity.
So Mike.
You know, I haven't worked it all out yet, but I know that you're sealed patriarchal order.
Normally it's Tom sighing, and I was watching him, and that wasn't a Tom sigh.
Nope.
All right, so Mike, not going to stick a javelin in anybody's heart, but Mike, you do believe in the church fully 100%.
Yes, I do.
So the other question I get asked is, how can you know about all the stuff we talk about on this podcast and still believe 100%?
It's a real perspective issue because I can we've done the conference episodes. We can see the same talk at conference, and when we come to discuss it here, I take a totally different slant on what they're saying than one of the antis does that comes on.
Whoa, don't generalize.
I hear the same thing.
Hold on. Antis. Come on, you can't do that.
We have not had any anti-Mormons on the podcast except maybe Ed Decker.
I'm sorry, shaky faith person speaking.
Oh. But
Mike, should we call them one-footers? Is that what we should say?
Mike, you know, I mean, we went through the Nauvoo Expositor, Mike. You know what's in there. We went through DNC 132. You know what's in there. We went through
King Follett.
We went through and talked about all of Joseph's blushing young brides, and you know about all that stuff. Doesn't any of this stuff trouble you?
No, it doesn't. There's so much more going on than just that.
Like what?
The gospel is so much more rich than just, yeah, maybe this guy did something wrong here or whatever. There's so. I mean,
Mike.
Have you listened to the Abrahamic Covenant one that Mike did?
Maybe not. I will. I promise I will before I air it. So I hate to. So I'm with the audience out there. I haven't heard it either. So I hate to talk about that too much. But just, so is all revealed? Is this like the end of a movie when you find out all the secrets and you find out?
It was revealing to me. I mean, I understood Mike better. You know, having participated in that one, and you know, when Mike talks about the richness of the gospel, and you know why the names and the families being sealed together, and what the gospel is, I just understood it better when we went through that.
Well,
weren't you there, Tom?
Yeah, I was there. I didn't feel like I understood Mike better.
I'll use football terminology next time.
Yeah, okay. Maybe that would work.
Mike,
why don't you just go with the there's an emotional connection to the church, Mike, or to God or the church or your testimony? Because that's a pretty good defense that not a lot of antis, quote, could break through, right?
Let's just say mistakes were made by in one area or another. Do you throw out the entire gospel plan and Jesus Christ because maybe at one point somebody screwed something up?
But
what if there's a bunch of somebodies and it really piles up?
And they were the ones that, you know, were in charge of the whole thing.
That are kind of important.
No, but hey, Mike has a good point. There's more Mikes than there are us, right? There's more people who are still inside the church believing than who walk out.
No, I disagree with you there. I think there's a lot more people that have left than that know all the crap and stay in.
Well, okay, I'm discounting.
Okay, that might be true.
I'm discounting all the people who leave. I'm discounting all the people who leave who don't know jack squat about the church. You know, you're in Nicaragua, you're 16 years old, you get baptized by a couple of cute missionaries, and a year later you're out. Well, those guys don't count. And that's most of the baptisms, right?
That's a good percentage, yeah.
So we, I mean, I'm talking about people who actually sort of understand the church on some level.
Well, you know, I agree what I've noticed with George.
Oh, you think I'm wrong?
Well, I think as far as people who know,
I was at church today, and I was sitting in a ward full of people that weren't baptized by cute missionaries in Nicaragua, and I felt completely outnumbered. As far as, you know, people that were standing up and bearing their testimonies,
it's a location thing. Don't
know a clue. I mean, they wouldn't be Mike's because they don't know the stuff that we talk about here on Mormon Expression. They wouldn't want to know the stuff that we talk about on Mormon Expression. So I don't know. I wouldn't think that they're in either of those.
I would have to say that the majority of average Mormons probably don't know what 70-80% of the troubling aspects in church history. I would probably assume. It seems like even in my ward, if there's people out there that have never even heard of the Mountain Meadows Massacre, that's pretty substantial.
Well, and the interesting thing is that the leaders constantly preach, you know, stick to the basics. And in a way, they're right. Because if you just take the church at face value and stick to the basics of the gospel, you know, love one another and try to do what's right, then that's a good way to live, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that necessarily.
Yeah, why would they want to ruin that with stuff that might shake them up?
Right.
Well, you know, this wanting to understand it better, you study a lot, and you find all these cool, interesting things. But a lot of people just get the Holy Ghost involved in their life just by living the gospel without studying all the little, you know, God's hat size and what shoe he wears. And they just get the Holy Ghost in their life.
God's hat size and what shoe he wears.
It's 7 1/8 and 9 3/4, in case anybody was interested. But hey,
they just live the gospel, and you can see it in their lives, yep. And you see it in their families.
I agree with that.
You go to church, you see these people, and the Holy Ghost is involved, and that's what it's all about.
I don't necessarily think that the Holy Ghost has any, if there is any Holy Ghost, has any monopoly on the Mormon church. I don't understand the connection. I mean,
no, we know from the scriptures the light of Christ is everywhere. But the idea is to get it more involved in, you know, and to receive revelation and
so
really.
Why would a good person who's not a member of the church have any less Holy Ghost or light of Christ than a person who is a member of the church?
Well, you get the name of Christ sealed on you, and you start getting revelation, and you really increase your faith as you allow that revelation to work on you, and you learn to listen to the Spirit and gain that ear.
Okay, so there's some kind of special thing about.
Hey, by the way, have you had any progress, Mike, of getting McConkie's on?
No, I never got a response. I sent a letter.
No, don't laugh, John, because he showed me his email that he wanted to ask.
I'm not laughing at Mike. I'm laughing at the.
I think that'd be awesome.
I don't think any of the McConkies are coming on.
Because that would be a pretty interesting discussion to talk about emotions and the Holy Ghost.
All right, so
let's get into some more positive stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, Mike. All right, so Mike, do you worry that most people listening to this podcast might come to different conclusions than you do?
I hope not. I hope some people hear what I have to say and
you don't,
stick with it.
You don't really think that people should think like you, right, Mike? You think that everybody should kind of think on their own, right?
What's wrong with how I think?
Well, if he's thinking correctly, then everyone should think that way, right?
Do we all think that way? Do we all think everybody should think like me?
No, I'm saying
I don't think that.
I'm saying if you think that you think correctly, then why shouldn't everybody think like you?
Diversity's sake.
Maybe you're not right all the time.
This leads to the question.
That's not a possibility.
instead of talking about Mike's inner thought process, let's talk a little bit about balance. Because that comes up sometime. You know, we've said over and over again, the rhetorical stand of Mormon Expression is that we don't necessarily hide what we ourselves believe. I mean, I don't try to pretend to be an objective person. But I believe in letting anybody say what they want to say. And this goes for the apologists and for the faithful, and everybody's welcome on. You know, I got a little feedback after we did the Boys Ranch thing. Somebody's saying, why didn't you let the other side talk? Hey, they're more than welcome to come on and give their side of the story. We were just talking about Eric and Cade's story in that instance. And that was their story. And as far as it being their story, it was completely objective. We were just talking about their story. And that's really all we can do. I don't think in a format like this, it's really possible to have this sort of, oh, we're going to have this side represented and this side represented, because I don't even believe in that dichotomy view that there's two sides to issues. I think that's sort of a false notion put in our minds by people like CNN.
Yeah, there's probably multiple sides to every story, right? More than two, more than three.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, that's why we have sort of panel discussion. None of us think the same.
Yeah, I agree.
In a black and white religious situation, is there only two when we've always been taught that there's black or white, and some of the things that we've talked is about nuances of color or shades of gray, but when you think of things in only terms of right and wrong, would there just be two views at that point?
Absolutely not. I mean, there's no question. I mean, give me a question you can narrow down to two right and wrong. I can't think of anything. That is, unless you say something like murder is wrong, but that's because it's implied in the definition of murder.
Yeah, but then you can even say war is an exception.
Yeah, I was going the same way you just went, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, I think anybody can find instances where, you know, killing would be the right thing to do.
And no, I'm not saying – I don't disagree with you at all, John. I was just asking rhetorically. In religion, when we're taught a strict right and wrong from a religious person's point of view, is there just two points of the argument?
Okay, what about this frog you just said in the chat? Right or wrong, God exists or doesn't exist?
Well
– that's like a binary
No, because you have to define your terms. Define God first.
Why do you have to define God? Can't you just say there is a supreme being or there is not a supreme being?
Well, so you're saying proposition A, you know, is true, or proposition A is false. Well, you have to tell me what proposition A is. And if you say supreme being, I don't even know what the hell that means.
Okay, so if you have to define what some sort of intelligent creator, right? So if I just say, okay, let's say it's an invisible smoke that created everything.
Oh, so, but you're making all sort of assumptions, because there could be a creator who died, and there could be a God who does the moral sort of things that Mormons talk about, like cutting off Laban's head, who wasn't the creator. I mean, those two don't necessarily follow.
God can be defined in thousands of different ways.
See, the studio audience gets to enjoy me waving my arms around in the air, and everybody out there does not get to see that.
Hey, I was thinking along these lines. We know, we can assume, okay, let's say the apostles are all going to the celestial kingdom, right? But you got Ukor, who's a soccer fan, and you've got a couple of the others that really love BYU football. Do they go to the same celestial kingdom?
I know what you're talking about, Mike.
Not the ones that like BYU football, no.
Wasn't it you, Mike, who some time ago put a post saying, you know, how is it going to be, you know, a lot of the things that we enjoy in this life, would they be in the celestial kingdom? I mean, the things that define us, the things that we spend our time doing and that really mean something to us, would they be in the next life? And if not, then who would we be?
Right. That's what I'm saying. I don't think there's an idea of absolute perfection. You know, is soccer the perfect game, or is football the perfect game, or is there room for both of them
in the
celestial kingdom?
Wasn't Christ the example of absolute perfection? I mean,
but wouldn't that only be in righteousness, not like hairstyle and?
Well, how do we
exactly
know?
Exactly, Zilpha. Exactly.
How do we know?
There's doing the right thing, but there doesn't have to actually be. Maybe perfection involves some little chaos in there. Maybe you're meant to have a little things going kooky and wrong, and that's just the way things are.
You mean the opposition and all things?
Let's move on.
Hey, Mike, the only question I've related to that, is God, like the Mormon God, your father, is he in the celestial kingdom? Is he in his celestial kingdom?
He's in his.
So there's other, like, people hanging out with him in his celestial kingdom? Like, his mother is there, and his little sister is there, and...
Well, you know, you hear about people having visions, and there's numberless concourses of angels in the attitude of singing and praising their God. You know, it sounds like they're having a good time, and there's a lot of people there. But that's his, and then I'm sure there are others as well.
Okay, Zilpha, you're getting a lot of love in the chat room. Everybody thinks you're cute and adorable.
thanks.
Yeah, it's coming in. It's coming in really nice for you here, Zilpha.
You I can't even see it.
Yeah, it says, Zilpha has the cutest voice in the world. I know, she does. I know, right? Everything about Zilpha is cute. Yeah, I agree.
Oh, you guys flatter me.
Well, say something cute then.
John's over here.
I can't perform like that on the spot.
Is this like the one girl that shows up for the Dungeons & Dragons game?
Yeah.
Do you play D&D then, Mike?
You're suddenly cute years. If you're the only one.
All right, so we have another caller, my friend Jim. Let me see if I can bring him on. All right, hold on. I got to figure out how to make this all work here. These big, long pregnant pauses, I can edit out.
Isn't we like what, the suspense.
Isn't that what I always tell you guys?
All right. Yeah, and then you end up leaving them in.
Well, I'm getting a little lazier with that. Jim, are you there?
No, I wanted to go back to the comments on Zilpha, but not necessarily on Zilpha in particular. Have you guys seen an evolution of the chemistry of everybody?
And have
an evolution of the chemistry of everybody?
Is that like a book or a movie?
No,
or?
No. The group, you and Mike and Tom and...
Oh, and an evolution of our chemistry.
Yeah, because I had the privilege of catching up on, I think, the first 90 podcasts in about 2.5 weeks.
No kidding. Oh, you went on a bender, dude.
Pretty much.
The first 99 or so kind of suck a little bit.
So give us a chemistry breakdown then.
Give us a read on it. I'd love to hear.
It seemed like in the beginning there was a little more contention that kind of ironed itself out. And I don't know if that was on purpose or not.
No, it's just we're all Mormons, so we're passive aggressive.
Contention between specific people or between everybody?
I think it was Jim and Tom in particular.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
You guys had a Cold War?
Yeah, except for we...
I know that Glenn don't... You know, you guys don't like each other.
Yeah, I hate Glenn's guts.
In the real world.
I hate him.
But I didn't know about the Jim thing.
Well, early on, he kind of took some pot shots, if I recall right.
Oh. And you picked up on that.
It was very entertaining.
See, in the beginning, I was kind of feeling a little bit of the active Mormon role.
Yeah, you were much more the defender.
Oh, I mean, I still kind of feel that role, but maybe I'm a little more liberal now.
Yeah, you've loosened up.
Have I?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's all a matter of perspective when Mike joined the group.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Mike wasn't with us in the beginning, but he came on pretty early.
Yeah.
Then we had.
It was in the first 5 podcasts that, you know, they were taking shots at each other.
Yeah, but, yeah.
If Jim's out there, I still hate you, dude.
Yeah, he was supposed to come tonight, but.
I actually had a chance to ask him about it at John and Zilpha's party, and he thought it was...
Oh, he was at the party, eh?
A short-term thing. Yep.
Huh. Oh.
Yes. Kyle Chaser says I was a polarizer when I came on.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you gotten over that. what else? What other chemistry?
Because
I've been mad at everybody sometime or the other. Most often Zilpha, but usually for other stuff.
It seems like you, John, you've slowly... Over, you know, the first 100, you take a more authoritative role at times in the group discussions.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have
power hungry sucker. Zilpha's over here nodding her head too.
Things on track, I should say.
Well, I, the only thing I would say is that there were times when he tried not to take any kind of leadership role, and the discussion was kind of floppy. So it seems like in a discussion with a few people of this sort kind of needs a leader, so that people can kind of look to them to start it, to move it forward.
And to blame if things get bad.
Yeah, keep it on track or whatever. So, and he had to learn that over time, I think.
Yeah,
I mean, I had no idea what I was doing. Still don't very much. You know, here's an example. We learn everything by mistake. If you listen to the most recent podcast with where we reviewed the Godmakers, you know, I had some good mics, I had some great chords, and then I left the little fuzzy things on top of the mics. Well, apparently you don't do that because if you touch them, This sounds like sandpaper in your ears.
But so when we passed the mic.
So when we were passing the mic, every time anybody just touched it just a little bit, you know, so those are the kind of amateurish mistakes that we make all the time. But hopefully we only make once or twice or three times.
And I guess my final comment would be that for me personally, I much prefer the group discussions.
As opposed to an interview?
Yeah. Really? But I guess it also depends on who the interview's with. So some of the interviewers have been great, but as far as...
I think I'm with you on that.
Yeah. The hour goes by quicker, but not necessarily. I don't mean that in a demeaning way at all.
Yeah.
It just, the discussion moves a lot better. And I think it all has to do with the chemistry.
Do you think our chemistry's better now?
I think it was good to begin with. I think it's gotten even better over time. And the people that you've brought in have definitely added to it. You know, Mike and Glenn in particular.
Maybe. I don't know about Glenn.
Now it's going to go to their heads. But you know, my number one tool for those guys is to say, you know, you weren't there in the beginning, and you got a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah.
But speaking of Glenn, where is Glenn?
I was just listening.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, everyone. I have to meet Glenn since he lived in Japan. So.
Oh, you've met him?
What's that?
You lived in Japan, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, at first. Yeah.
I believe you were living there when you first joined the group. So I've got to meet you.
Okay.
We did
the same thing. Where are you now, Jim?
We're here in the Ogden area.
Okay. So. Yeah. Are you going to be at the banquet next time we do it? And what is it, John? August 6th? We're doing it.
I believe it's August 6th. Yeah.
But there ain't going to be no banquet.
Yeah.
We should invite Glenn to one of the what do we want to call our gatherings?
Event.
Our next event that's outside of the Mormon Expression Group.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
If I'm in Indiana now, so if I'm ever able to get out to Utah,
that's right.
I'd love to, but it's usually not as easy.
Yep, but we'll probably definitely be attending the next live function.
That would be fun.
Yeah. So those who are new, we did our live banquet on the August 7th. We're doing it again. It is done at the same time Sunstone is. So if anybody comes in town for Sunstone, they can hit our live show. I think it's August 6th. Make your plans. But I think right now we're not planning on having a banquet, but there will be live music and it'll be kick ass. So you're going to want to come.
Yeah, still in the planning stages. So if you got suggestions, email John.
Oh, you're trying to take my thunder.
No, I like your ideas. No, you know I like your ideas.
It's gonna be cool. And, you know, there's been a couple references to things going on here. You know, one thing that I think is important and one thing that motivates me to do the podcast is when you find yourself out of sorts with the church or leaving the church or just, you know, in a liberal sort of, hey, I'm not, I don't like Glenn Beck mode. You know, you can feel kind of alone. You can feel kind of isolated. And I think that's one of the motivators that I have behind the podcast, you know, that maybe once a week you can put Tom in your ear and know that you're not the only one out there. There are, if you're along the Wasatch Front or other places, there are lots and lots of social things that happen among the liberal Mormons and the ex-Mormons. So you don't have to be alone. There's people out there you can meet. And if you want to tap into that network, please, by all means, send me an email.
Even when we were in North Carolina, we would, you know, we found other ex-Mormons that we got together with, which was really helpful. I mean, so they're out there, and the internet makes it easy to find them.
Yeah, it's also another way of having free therapy, just having friends to talk to.
Well, you know, in Utah County, there is an actual sort of group therapy group that meets, and there are, you know, I'm just saying you may not be ready in your stage right now to do that, but there are other people out there who understand what you've gone through. Boy, somebody's brought the mood down.
There's a big time serious tone now. Yeah.
Why don't you talk about sex, Zilpha?
So should we talk about the podcasts we hated and that we regretted or things that we liked or what? Ask the audience what they think.
Why don't we do our favorite ones first? All we've been talking about is negative so far.
Okay, let's go with favorite. Zilpha, you start us off.
Oh, I have a lot of favorites.
What's your top three? Top maybe most favorite.
I didn't
favorite.
Narrow it down that far, but I really liked the interview that you did with Will Bagley. That was back in episode 51.
That was pretty fun. I ran into him too the other day. It was pretty cool.
Loved his stories. I liked the Civil War prophecy just because I had no idea about all of the stuff that was behind it. I liked the after discussion from the 10 tribes.
Oh, don't encourage Glenn.
Oh, jeez.
But that was only great because we didn't know you were recording.
Somebody just voted for episode 34.
Yeah, episode 34.
So, yeah, I'm reading the chat here, and somebody said Gene Bodhi and Michelle Spencer. Yeah, those two are great.
Nate, my friend.
Yeah, that one was fun.
That was great.
The one there should be a podcast on is the LDS Church Occult. This is on the board. We've talked
about
that.
That's come up a few times. Yeah.
It's come up. And I was actually talking to a PhD in sociology this last week, and I floated that idea. The problem is cult means different thing to like evangelical weirdos and sociologists. So it depends on which definition of a cult we land on. Sorry, Zilpha.
Yeah, go ahead, Zilpha.
Hey, I got so many. You can interrupt me however you want. But 14 Fundamentals.
Really?
That was a good one. I thought.
Didn't I lose my cool a couple times in that one? It was all staged.
Most of the panel discussions, you lose your cool, John.
ooh, one of my favorites, Leaving the Jehovah's Witnesses.
That was a good one.
I haven't
remember that one, yeah.
The King Follett Discourse.
Yeah, I quit the Jehovah's Witnesses after that one.
I listened to King Follett yesterday. That was a good one.
I love the Babies on Thrones.
Yeah. Somebody just typed in Guns, Germs, and Steel. That one was a fun one.
That one was good.
Mm-hmm. Hey, and you know, there's a National Geographic 3-part documentary on Guns, Germs, and Steel that's available on Netflix streaming that I've shown to my kids, and it's absolutely fantastic.
Or there's this little podcast out there where they just talk about it. you don't have to watch the show.
But there's also a book.
Yeah. Oh no. The book's great, but. That just being able to show it to kids, you know, my kids are 14, 10 and 6, and they wouldn't be able to get through the book, but watching the show, you know, planting those seeds where they can start to understand the world that way. I just thought it was fantastic.
There's two votes for Mr. Deity.
Yeah. Mr. Deity was a fun one.
Yeah, Deity was great.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Saturday's Warrior was fun. I've gotten some compliments on that one for my singing.
Why aren't these on your list? They were just fun to do, or you think they're good, or I mean, why?
I think they were entertaining to listen to, and fun to do. Some of them were just fun to do, not necessarily fun to listen to. Some of them were just fun to listen to. Why Mormon church meetings are so dull? I thought that was kind of a good one. Do you remember that one? Glenn did that one.
Yeah, with Jana,
and Bridget.
Reese. Yeah, and Bridget on for that. Yeah.
It had a different kind of feel to it, a different perspective.
So, watching the thing, Julia Winston brought up Bent Washburn. I actually chatted with Bent a little bit. Bent came on Mormon Stories, didn't he? So we like to give a cooling period between those two, and he's over in Europe right now, which makes it sort of hard. But Bent would be a really cool one. Another question came in about Prop 8. Now this Prop 8 was just really hot and heavy right when we started the podcast, and that was one of our first discussions.
It was just cooling down. It had already like reached its pinnacle and it was cooling down.
Yeah, every board, every blog out there was talking Prop 8, and we decided editorially just to skip it.
But maybe we'll get to it eventually, right?
I have a feeling we might even get to it later this week.
Ooh.
But and it's such a big thing. There are other topics, and Glenn can tell you all about these, that I don't. You know, I want topics that are on the podcast that we can talk about in an hour or two. And there are some things that are just, like, too big to get into that. You know, and Prop 8 is, you know, it's like you can't talk about Prop 8. You have to talk about an aspect of it.
And the other problem is then you constantly get into that debate of whether homosexuality is born or not. And that's a whole different topic.
It's a whole other thing.
That's a whole other thing. It's not really religion.
Should we let people in on the whole other thing? I mean, because this has come up on a few podcasts
now. No.
Should we let them know what this is about?
It's a really dumb, bad inside joke. Okay, we'll move on.
Speaking of Prop 8, the man on the street for the protest.
Yeah,
it was a really
good
one.
Yeah, and we've got a couple more men on the street. There's in the works as soon as the temperature.
There's a couple votes for the Dream Mine. I remember that one.
Dream Mine was cool.
Was it Hugo said he wants to buy stock? I've been trying to get Tom. Tom's the insider with the Dream Mine guys. He's on. Are you still on the mailing list?
Oh yeah, there was a big blowout the other day. Somebody started saying that it wasn't, you know, John Coyle wasn't who he says he was.
Oh no, and it's trouble in paradise.
Yeah, that's not cool, dude.
But I still want stock certificates.
So. Hey, now's a good time to buy.
Well, no, they're going up. They're like $38 to $40 a piece.
Oh dear.
I mean, you would have thought that with the economy, they'd drop it.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes up with gas, I guess.
Yeah. Well, with the economy, people are afraid of the doom and gloom of the, you know, the end of time. So they're getting ready with that Dream Mine.
Yeah. Dream Mine came active this week in Sunstone, too. They just did a whole article about everything that's going on talking about the stockholders and things. Good article.
Yeah, it was. I think that I've read that somewhere in the past. But, yeah, that was really good.
I thought just being able to get that guy to come on and speak just the things that he said about the
Alma the Younger being the fourth Nephite,
or Al Sinclair, that was his name.
Rubbing his with the sword.
Amazing.
Dude, we rub my calves. Alma awesome. The Younger.
He was awesome.
A resurrected being with sword wounds. That was
sword
pretty good.
Calves.
that was awesome. I loved the Nauvoo Expositor one. Was the first one that I really fell in love with. And I think Elna Baker might have been the first one that I listened to that I just – and going back to Jim who called in – When he was talking about the discussions that you guys had, I just loved listening to your banter with Elna Baker. It was really cool. I think those were the first two that I really loved.
I would second your everything what you just said about the Expositor.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that was game changing because it was just everything out there in one podcast.
Yeah.
And as far as making an impact on me and several other people, I know that was big.
Well, to be able to. You know, that you guys took the time to read William Law's words and then at the end to read Joseph Smith's words, and I could hear them side by side and kind of make my own determination on how I thought they sounded. I thought that was really clever, I guess. I don't know. It was really good. I liked it.
There's a couple votes for the Depression podcast. Which one was that one?
Oh, yeah.
We did that a little while ago.
Yeah, that was one I did with Adam.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Boy, the sound quality on that one was so bad. Have you
stepped your game up then, Glenn? Should we tell the audience that your stuff's going to be better now?
Yeah, you're no longer broadcasting from the bathroom.
I've tried to get some new equipment for those kinds of things. You know, Adam and I live in the same town, and so... Same ward, and so we tried, a different approach than what I normally do, and... You know, hopefully, if I do things like that again, it'll sound better. But yeah, well, I'm glad people liked it.
I can't remember the name of the guy, but I really enjoyed the one who talked about early groups in America, religious groups in America.
Mitch Horowitz.
Oh yeah,
Mitch Horowitz is great.
One.
Yeah,
yeah, that was a good one. Hey, Hugo.
Tom size.
Hugo brought up the Book of Jeremiah and Matthew Gill. I had negotiated Matthew Gill on. He's sort of a kid. He's in his early 20s. For those of you who don't know, he's the prophet of a British breakaway sect from the Mormons, and he has his own book called The Book of Jarnik. But his wife was about 8 months pregnant, and so he said, "Well, I want to wait till after the kid is born," and he hasn't been answering my phone calls. So that one was in my hand.
Maybe eventually, huh?
Yeah, he's on my board. I have a list of the people who agreed to come on at some point that every once in a while when I'm feeling bored, I go and give him another call.
But if you're interested, the Book of Jeremiah, you can find it online at their site.
They're the Latter-day Church of Jesus Christ, I think.
It needs a good editor is what it needs. Yeah. The book.
There's a bunch of people in the chat room requesting a Tom Sy. So Glenn, give us a joke.
I'm not going to respond.
Oh, come on.
I'm totally offended.
Well, at least we got the come on.
Jeez. The Beatles are the best group in the world.
Yeah, that'll do.
How's that,
that'll
Tom?
Do. Oh.
Oh, man.
Come on.
I don't know. One will come up spontaneously.
Enough of this gushy stuff. What's the crap?
Some crap in here. I'll admit it. The lesbian conversation was pretty lousy. Sorry.
Well, really?
If you did it, Hans Elfman.
It was bad.
I mean, that there's a couple points I want to make. It's not necessarily easy to either interview or be a guest.
Right.
And you know, one of the issues we have is, you know, if we're doing Skype, oftentimes you're sitting in your living room, and you're in your jammies, and you might be watching TV or playing a Facebook game or doing something like that, and sometimes you don't realize how, you know, that this is going to be recorded and it's going to live out there forever, and you know, your sound quality and all that stuff. So it seems
it wasn't a sound quality issue.
I was trying to diffuse a little bit, but sometimes some people are just not so good at being,
and I am not a very good host, and it's not really my personality.
Oh, come on.
I know why you're saying that, but that really wasn't one of the worst ones.
Well, I think
what
it was
the worst one then, Glenn?
But don't say anything.
I haven't heard all of them. The one that I have been least impressed with was there was one on crosses that just wasn't that interesting to me. And then there was also one that George and Niall did kind of early on where you like switched positions. Do you remember that, George?
That was lame.
Yeah, that was pretty lame.
It was fun to do at the time. But then listening to it afterwards, it was like,
it didn't work.
Was that you and Niall?
Yeah. Niall and I traded places. I played the antagonist, and he played the TBM, and we debated.
I sat on that thing for about 3 months.
Yeah, we both said we should probably not do it, and then I think there was a big blank area of time where we're like, we got to put something out.
I can't remember.
It was something like that.
But you know, we did get some good comments on that because people were like really pissed at us, and then when they realized at the end that we were just kind of joking around, then they were like, oh, okay, ha 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 ha.
Yeah, it was no good.
Yeah, but it was kind of lame.
That was
right.
Lame.
And there's probably a good time to mention the lost tapes. There, I think, are 10 episodes that never went out.
I don't think
10?
There's as many as 10.
I think there's
10.
I can think of maybe 3.
I think Glenn did 6 himself.
Yeah, I've got a couple.
Well, those are all the after discussions.
No, you know, so I mean, we're trying to make it better, so we're trying to sort of up the editorial standards.
Well, should we ask the studio audience what their favorite and what least favorite?
You can climb over to the mic.
I really liked the interview with Zilpha. Oh, I'm sorry. My name's Heather. I really liked the interview with Zilpha. I personally didn't think the one where George and Niall traded places was awful. I got it from the beginning, and I liked it.
So you say the interview with Zilpha. Are you talking about the Zilpha did with...
with you.
Oh, with me.
Yeah. Okay. So you know how the interspersed are the interviews with the few of you that are on the podcast?
Yeah, yeah.
That was a good one.
I really liked that one. And I actually also really liked the interview with Niall. When I first started listening to the podcast, I couldn't stand him. And when I knew he would be on, I kind of thought, do I really want to listen to this? But then I listened to the interview with him, and I really, my opinion of him changed. And I actually kind of was interested in what he had to say on things after that.
Niall's an interesting guy. Yeah, I think that shows some depth of personality that didn't come through on those first few ones. Yeah.
Yeah, he was really antagonistic, and he hasn't shed a lot of that off, I don't think.
No, and now I tease him on the podcast for being a nut, and that's because he's an anarchist. So sometimes some of that comes through, and then I edit it out.
And he runs barefooted, too.
Yeah, he runs barefoot.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's just nuts.
All right, so...
Can I mention the one I really didn't like was my interview?
I was going to mention that too, Mike, actually.
Glenn, you were going to mention that too?
It was like
we,
a Sunday school lesson.
We planned on interviewing someone, and then they bailed on us. And like he said, you're relaxing in your living room, you know, and you're just going to kind of hang back and respond to what's being the focus of the thing. And it was just completely, yeah, it was tough.
I don't think any of us really liked our own interviews.
Yeah, it's harder to be interviewed than it is to interview, I think, in some ways. I mean,
now, I agree with you on that because I host the Abraham podcast that we're going to put up soon. And I didn't realize, you know, it's very relaxing when I can just sit here and respond. But when I have to be the host of the thing, that, I have my heart in my throat.
Yeah, it's totally a different experience.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's the opposite of what John just said, Mike.
What?
Is it?
John just said it's harder to be interviewed than it is to interview.
they're both hard, I guess.
You know, Mike, the first time that I heard the interview with you, like I was seething afterwards. I was so angry.
Really?
But now that Hugo Thomason said Glenn can interview himself.
He does every podcast.
Oh, yeah.
but Mike, now that I go back and I listen to it, I'm much more interested to hear John's interview of you. I don't dislike it as much as I did the first time that I heard it. But my favorite part of that interview is still when you make some comment about how if the women in the Middle East had the Book of Mormon, how different their life would be. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, what in the world is he saying? And thank goodness John called you on it because you had absolutely nothing to back up that statement. And just for that fact alone, it's now become one of my favorites.
I understand it a lot better now than I did then.
All right.
But
what about mistakes were made, how not to leave the church? Was that?
That was a good one.
Well, I
that was all right.
I remember at the time we got a lot of feedback on that one.
I've heard a lot of people say that was a good one.
Yeah.
I like the, for me personally, I kind of like the interviews rather than the panel discussions. Maybe that's just because I think that everything I'm on sucks.
Yeah, Tom and I tend to be on the same page that way. The same. I like the panel discussions, but too much panel discussion is sort of masturbatory, and I think
hey, what's wrong with that?
Masturbatory.
Thanks, Zilpa. Thanks.
That's becoming a regular word.
I think if we did it every time, like it was every week, it was just us blah blah blahing. I think it would get old.
I think a mix is what keeps it fun and interesting. Oh, Mormon ad campaign. That wasn't
a
huge success.
Get a lot of love.
That's the opposite way of saying it sucked.
I'm not a fan of that woman.
Holly Welker?
Oh, my gosh. She was.
Oh, boring. I like Holly. Holly's
She's
great.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's I think Holly did pretty good for her first time out. But I mean, that's a good point. Holly writes a lot, and she's a very good writer. But you know, coming here is a whole other thing, and it's not the same as writing. It's not it's a little bit different. So, yeah, that's the tough.
So,
part.
What's everybody's takes on the conference ones?
Oh, those are fun.
I think I'm done with them.
Really.
No,
they just get John mad.
No, I'm not done with them. I mean, that's kind of a signature piece, right? But they're a lot of work. Holy crap!
Yeah, I can imagine they got to be exhausting to edit and put up. And
yeah,
people like the conference ones.
Yeah,
what, Glenn, you like them or don't like them?
No, people like them. Oh. I think it's a valuable contribution that Mormon Expression does to people because then they don't have to fuss with real conference. They can just download Mormon Expression.
Seems like one of the biggest criticisms we get for them is that they're usually always negative or criticizing the speeches.
Yeah, our last group, and you know, it's hard to assemble a panel. I mean that takes a week's worth of work, and then sometimes panelists don't show up and stuff like that. But the last one, we were more tipped towards the critics. And you know, and it's hard to get the panel. It's hard to get the balance right.
Yeah, and you usually don't know what people are going to bring.
Well, and people like, I mean, I better not say the word I'm thinking of, but
masturbatory.
No, I was going to say bitching about things. It's funner than you know, just praising the whole conference, it's funner to pick out things that were disturbing or you didn't agree with and talk about those.
You know, for me, one of the things that I liked about being able to come on to Mormon Expression and have these conversations, they were always the kind of conversations that I wanted to have in church but couldn't, mm-hmm. because the people there wouldn't engage in these kinds of conversations. And so with the conference, that's how I always wanted to talk about conference. And so I'll bet there are other people like that out there who would want to come on and have those conversations about conference that, you know, maybe some of them, they just want to bitch about it. And, you know, but I think there's other people who want to come on and critique it. Maybe a more balanced critique. Maybe they just want to complain. I don't know. But, you know, I think we should still do it.
I think you're right. And I think that that's something we want to achieve. And I know I've mentioned to you guys, one of the things I want to do in the new year is, as we have panel discussions, always have someone outside the, you know, Mormon Expression family come on to the panel. So all of you out there listening, you know, we're looking for people to come in. And now that we've got that, we're set up here in Lehi, you can come in, you can see what it's like, and you can pull up a microphone. So I think we want to bring in more voices, and everyone out there who listens to Mormon Expression needs to take a turn on Mormon Expression.
Yeah, the more voices, the better.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. 'Cause we might run out of things to say.
Like right now.
Dead air.
All right, so conference. People didn't like the interviews. The interviews are, yeah, they're Well, Tom, you've done a lot of them. I mean, it's especially when you're there with somebody. That's, you know, I'm thinking about you and Bagley.
Well, Bagley was, if you ever want to try a drinking game, see how many, take a drink every time you hear Tom talk. You won't be drunk by the time it's over. But Bagley's. But,
unless you do a Tom Stying drinking game.
I don't think
not
Tom
on the Bagley one.
No,
maybe
one.
Not on the Bagley one, but put Tom and Glenn together and do a Tom Stying drinking game.
No, you know, one of the ones that I got heat for was the Gene Sessions one.
Yeah, you did. Get that wasn't fair, though.
He was a believer, and that's actually one of my more favorite ones. But yeah. I have a hard time saying that I like that one because that was one I set up and did.
No, I really liked it. I think it was a good one.
I liked that one.
And but the reason you got heat from it was because people felt that you didn't go for the jugular.
Right, but then when you brought on...
But you have to understand, Sessions didn't... I mean, he almost backed out at the last minute.
Right.
And you know, he realized that it was a little... You know, the podcast as a whole is kind of antagonistic or takes a critical side of things. And he's like, I don't want to be associated with that thing. So this is one of John's things too, is we want people to say what they say, you know, and not necessarily challenge them. I think we should challenge some things on certain aspects and certain topics, but I think with Sessions, I think it's better to just hear what he has to say.
Well, yeah, I took some heat, not a lot, but for the Decker one, because they said, why didn't you bust his balls on all this weird stuff he's saying? To me, that's not what the podcast was about. It was about Ed Decker, the guy, Ed Decker. And who right. cares that he said the crazy stuff about the temple? That's not what the podcast was about. And some of that stuff is just so easy, and that's what everybody goes after, you know. So if you had Ed Decker, why would you ask him about that stuff? More, I want to hear, you know, what he thinks about all that stuff, because that's what never gets out there.
Which is interesting, because our podcast should be a really open ground for any apologists, a professional apologist, I should say, that could come on, because John's given them an open invitation. We'll let you say what you want to say.
And they have the invitation. And there's been some that have come on, and there'll be more who will come on. I was actually talking to one this afternoon.
Really?
But, you know...
You're not going to say who it is, huh?
No, I
won't. Just in case it doesn't go through.
But, okay. But, you know, a wag of my finger at the apologists. You know, you guys, you got to... Have I given the grab the spoon analogy on the podcast yet?
Grab the spoon? Is that like the Matrix thing?
When we were kids, we used to play this game called Grab the Spoon, where you'd put all the spoons in the middle, and if there were five people playing, there'd only be four spoons. And then if you got a match in the cards you passed around, then you grabbed a spoon. And as soon as somebody tried to grab a spoon, everybody would reach for one, and somebody's always left out. Just like a cakewalk, right? But my grandma would take the littlest person, and she would put the spoon closer and closer to them so that the little kids always didn't lose. that seems that a lot of the apologists want the spoon pushed closer and closer to them. You know,
they don't want to jump in there and grab it.
They say, well, I've got to have a transcript of all the questions. I've got to review the final edit. I've got to do all that kind of stuff.
But we shouldn't generalize all apologists either.
Not all apologists.
Because Jeff Lindsay came on and he didn't ask for any of that stuff. And he was very, I thought he was
that
very
was
open.
That was a good one, yeah.
Yeah.
No, and I've even conceded some of that stuff in some negotiations. But guys, you know, you're a professional apologist. I'm an amateur. You know, you shouldn't be afraid to come on my podcast. I'm not sure what that says about you.
Hey, and you know, while you're talking about this, the one that you did with Conciliary, the bullseye, I really liked that one. That was one of my favorite. I know there have been bullseye. People who said that they didn't like that one, but I thought he did a really good job.
Yeah, and he said he'll come back on. He's a busy guy in real life, and we need to go make the rounds again. No, really, I don't mean to. I think a lot of the apologists are really bright. A lot of them have really, really great things to say. I think some of them have written really interesting material, and there's a culture inside that of really staying inside, and they've circled up the wagons, and they don't need to do that. They can engage the world, but I'm not the world. I'll let them say their piece. But you know, they don't. Their message is better than they make it sound by their, you know, retrenchment.
So, John, when you first started this, or you started to wake up in the middle of the night thinking you're going to start a podcast called Mormon Expression, did you ever see the day you'd get to 100 episodes and even get 15,000 downloads a week?
You know, I never. I've always wanted to make it bigger, and we've got you know, plans in the works, but I never really stop to think, okay, where's it going to be? Now I have more concrete plans. I know what I need to do next and the thing after that. But no, in the beginning, I just wanted to see if it would work, I suppose. You know, because when we started, we had this, okay, what do you have to do? You have to get a website. What does that mean? We have to get a hosting. You know, I had to get books and read them all, and I knew nothing, so. All right.
We got all these guys on Skype. Come on.
We are at 58 minutes, so.
Anybody have a question that they want to squeeze in or comment?
Froggy asked, should we invite Daniel Peterson? Like you said, you've invited him, and like you said, you've invited a lot of these people, and they just don't chill.
And some of these guys that are listening in the chat, like Kirby and Bagley, some of us are working on that. So hopefully, you know, knock on wood, they come through.
Yeah, and you know, we're all like part-timers too, you know. So sometimes, you know, we don't necessarily have time to
some of us have jobs, John. This isn't what you do for a living.
But hey, we're one of the things we're looking for, and I was talking about growth. One of the things we're looking for is a producer, which is somebody who can help make these phone calls and that sort of stuff. If you're scared to get behind the mic, but you'd still like to help out Mormon Expression, I'd love to have you come in and help arrange for some of these things. That's one of the things we need help with.
Oh, the blogs have been a recent addition, and I think that's been a good thing.
How come you haven't written a blog yet, Zilpha?
Nothing comes to mind.
You know, your words could be just as adorable as your voices.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, we started out just as a podcast. We have the blogs now.
So are the blogs open to anybody to write? I mean, or do you have just a set... I don't even know.
Not everyone can post there, but we're still hiring bloggers. So if you'd like to post, and we get probably easy a good 1,500 readers on each of our blogs.
So our listeners, if they think they've got a talent in that area, they can apply.
They can send me a writing sample and explain to me why they want to do it, and they'll probably get in.
Well, here's a question in the chat. Any family and friends critical of Emmy participation in the podcast, particularly those that still attend?
I was looking at that one too, Tom. Glad you grabbed it.
Yeah.
Constant problem.
Yeah, at least for me, that's been a constant problem. So,
For me, none of my family, nobody in my family or extended family has ever acknowledged that they listened to it. So
all of my family are still active, and a few of my siblings, have listened to a few of the episodes, and they didn't say they hated it. I think they learned. I know they listened to the one about Nate. I think that they appreciated learning about more about his story and his perspective. So, and they knew him. So,
This is George. I've got a good story on this one. I remember the one we did on 14 Fundamentals where I just got really pissed at Mike about the whole newer
the
prophets. Yep, the modern day supersedes Christ and stuff. So that came out and I was listening to it, and my wife has kind of been giving me grief about, you know, where's Christ in my life and stuff like that. And I said, you got to hear this. You got to hear this. And so I played that for her, and she says, man, you really, you told it like, So,
boy, you told him.
Yeah, I was pissed.
She didn't think that I handed you your lunch on that?
No, she was glad to hear that I defended what I had to say about it. So okay, it was a good thing in my part, in my side. Okay.
So, Glenn, you don't get any grief, do you?
Wait. Let George finish telling.
Oh, sorry,
were you done, George?
Yeah, I was done. That was my story.
Excuse me, Glenn.
No, I'm like a missionary still. You know, I'm like going out and spreading the Mormon expression word. My sister's been on a few episodes. You know, my mom's been on one, and they listen faithfully and regularly. I've got several friends who are listening regularly, and people in my ward here who are and have been on, and some that want to be on. And
the Abraham one's coming up. You got two friends from your ward on there, right?
No. There was one guy from another ward here in Bloomington that's a friend of mine who was going to be on. He's a guy who's actually a second counselor in a ward here, but no. I know Mike was really upset that he wasn't able to be on because he wanted the cred of having an active second counselor in a bishopric on one of his podcasts, but it didn't work out. So, no.
All right, so anybody else want to say anything there, Mike?
I had a question for you. Recently it was posted that you had 60,000 downloads.
Yeah.
Was it in a week or a month?
I should probably clarify that. I get busy, so I hadn't looked at the logs. And I looked at the logs between November 12th and December 12th, and we did 3.5 million megabytes, which – and 94% of all of our traffic to our website is for the audio files, the big audio files. So that would put anywhere between 60 and closer to 70,000 downloads during that 30-day period. And then I looked back at some of the trends. We've been trending up that way. So now you have to remember that if somebody comes on and, you know,
half of those were Jim.
Yeah. If somebody like Jim comes on and downloads a lot, he's going to account for several of those, but nevertheless, it is growing out there, and
that's a really big number.
And I estimated that year to date at the time there had been well over 600,000 downloads in 2010. So
now the big question is, what do you know? Which ones are getting downloaded the most?
I haven't gone to parse that out. Where's your list, Zilpha? I was looking, and the one that had the single most downloads on a Tuesday, because we release every Tuesday.
That was the Fundamentals.
No, it was Mixed Feelings for Mormonism. And I don't know why that one spiked. And I don't know if you guys have noticed that if you go try to hit the website on a Tuesday morning about 9, it's kind of slow. And I'm hoping they don't jack my fees up on me anytime soon here. So
in other words, up your donations, fans.
So I mean, there's quite for those of us who are involved in the discussion, there's quite a few of us out there. I'll steal something that John DeLynn said. You know, if you friend ME on, well, Mormon Expression is not a person on Facebook, but we have a Facebook page, and you never know who else you can see who's a friend of yours that's there. So. And then I would just say, come out to real live events.
Has that actually ever happened? Somebody's found somebody on Facebook.
Yes, happened to me.
Really? That's cool.
I've made contact with some old friends, some old mission companions and stuff who've stumbled on the podcast and said, John, is that you? So
I had a couple missionary companions do that too. One unfriended me, and then one let me know that he no longer believes either. So,
yeah, I've found some people that I knew back in high school, some that have left the church and some that haven't, but they listen to Mormon Expression and they enjoy it.
It's out there. I mean, this is the thing that Elder Ballard warns the Mormons about. It'll live forever out there, and so doing it for good or for evil, and that's one of the reasons I think it's a sort of a powerful medium. I think it's more accessible than the boards. I mean, we don't have more intelligent discussions that are going on the boards all the time, but I think it's easier to listen to. It's easier to digest.
And you can consume it while you're exercising.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, one of the things I mentioned that we want to grow. One of the things I set the goal at the end of the year to turn us into an actual not-for-profit educational foundation that takes we got to have our books in order, and we got to hire lawyers and do all sorts of stuff like that. So that's one of the things we're working towards. So if you're looking for an excuse to maybe throw a little bit our way, that's a good thing, good motivation to do it. We want to continue to expand. If you want to participate in the community, we want to do more sort of live things so people can get out and meet people. We want to find more opportunities to do all sorts of different things. So yeah, we're hiring, except we don't pay any money. So if you believe in the project and you want to be involved, then by all means reach out to me, and we'll find a way to get you involved.
Some people on the boards, John, are suggesting that we make some Mormon Expression T-shirts.
Yeah, I think I did once on Cafe Press, but I'm not a real super great designer. So if people want to make designs and then send them my way, then we can set up a Cafe Press or some other sort of way. And then
they don't want like little South Park characters of like Mormon Expression people or anything like that.
No.
Hey, there's that sigh.
But, seriously, for designers, I'm looking for people to do some half-page ads for things like City Weekly and Sunstone Magazine. If you've got that sort of talent, then I'm looking for you. The contest. We'll have another personal essay contest. It'll be revving up here in about 3 or 4 months.
No, we could do like a T-shirt design contest. I'm just reading off suggestions that people are saying on the boards here.
Yeah. Here's the contest. Send it to me and you win if it doesn't suck, and then we'll. Don't forget, we do have the newsletter that you can subscribe to, which gives sort of the. This is our first live broadcast, but we're doing another one next week with the book club, The Backslider. And my goal is to do one or two a month. So that's a good way to find out what our broadcast schedule is so you can tune in. We're only going to do it if it's not gimmicky, if it somehow helps the discussion. What else? What else we have going on? Oh, the cruise. We're looking at August time frame for the cruise.
I thought you said June.
We did, but we found we can get better deals, and so I'm still working with the travel agent to try to find out the best deal and all that kind of stuff.
So the date's tentative.
Yeah.
The date's still tentative. We haven't gone, live with that one yet. And, I'm still nervous about how many people will go. I think it's a good opportunity to meet other people. Zilf and I, we've gone on a couple cruises, and we like to take our kids, and it's sort of a great, inexpensive vacation. It'll probably be sailing out of L.A.,
Is there going to be sacrament meeting on the weekend?
Jeez.
No, but we will, if we do it, we will have at least one, we'll probably have a private party one night, and then we'll have like a day, like a broadcast. We'll do a recording.
Like a live lecture thing.
No, are you going to do that posed picture on the side of the cruise ship that's like that Mormon Book of Mormon, Nephi and Lehi going across the Pacific Ocean.
Everybody's shy now.
Zilf has got the guns for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We will be doing a podcast from the cruise ship, right? At least recording one.
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, that goes to, I've said this earlier in the podcast, I'm just always looking for ways for those who are sympathetic to the ME sort of thought pattern to meet each other and to I think it's very important that you don't feel isolated, that you get out of your shell and that you can meet other like-minded people, because there are a lot of us. We are legion, and if we're going to make a difference in the world we have to get together.
We are Sparta.
On that note, I think there's a lot more liberal Mormons, there's a lot more Mormons who aren't Glenn Beck supporters and who aren't staunch Republicans who just sit quietly in the pews. And we've got to turn that around, because there's so many intelligent, good voices that are quiet, that are silenced by that cloud of, what is it in the Lehi's dream? The shroud of cloud of darkness or whatever.
Are you trying to scare Mike away? Mike, are you signed up for this? We're trying to attract liberal Mormons.
Come on, Mike. No. I'll bring cookies and everything.
Is there such a thing as a liberal Mormon?
Yes.
Mike, there's...
I'm looking at one.
Harry Reid, man. He's the president of the Senate.
I'm waiting well, there was a been excommunicated. I'm waiting to
sharpen his javelin.
So you don't think that there could be... So, Mike, there's only believing Mormons, and then there's apostates, right?
There's shaky testimonies that need some help, but...
What kind of help? Therapy help or spiritual help? What kind of help?
Spiritual
you
help.
Like if you pray for them, maybe they'll come around?
Oh, DVD's mentioning the New Order Mormons. Don't forget those.
Isn't that what
a liberal Mormon is?
Thrown out
isn't
immediately.
Yeah.
There's so many shades. It's too hard to pin them down.
One last thing I want to throw out. I'm going to actually be running a podcast here in 2 weeks. I put the challenge out before. I want to give an avenue for people to tell their story or whatever. And if you want to get together in small groups and interview each other, and as long as not real awful, we'll run it. And I've got one that was just sent me where Seth, he's been on before. He's left the church. He's an atheist. His dad, who is a scientist, who's still in the church, he and Seth have a discussion. And so this is a challenge out to you guys, and I'll be happy to help you record it. But if you want to do your own thing, you want to interview your mother or whatever, and we're happy to run stuff like that. So,
It's got to go through a screening process, right?
Yeah. Send it to me. We're not going to put whatever out, but odds are, and especially if you talk to me beforehand, you can make sure that it sort of hits the editorial marks. But my point is that, I want to give an avenue for everybody to get their voice out there who wants to.
And I mean that's what I did with the interview that I did with Cabo, my Japanese missionary companion. For those of you who are familiar with that one, that's one of the first things that I did.
That's true.
With John.
Yeah.
Besides that Mormon humor one, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Mormon humor was the first time I was on Mormon Expression.
That was like when you were a guest and stuff.
I was a guest. Yeah.
Okay. So, any last words before we close it up?
Hope for 100 and more, John. Nice job, brother.
Happy 100.
Yeah,
this has been awesome. Thanks for keeping it going.
Yeah, thanks to all you guys. It wouldn't have worked without all of you helping out. And I really appreciate everything you've done, and I appreciate everybody who's listened and passed it on to their brothers-in-laws. Yeah. Is that how you say that?
Brothers-in-laws.
It'd be interesting to pull out some of those old emails or threads that we had about, not wanting this thing to just have a 3-month life and then die off. And it's really pretty amazing to think that it has kept going as long as it has and hasn't kind of petered out or struggled more than it has.
It hasn't done that through inertia. It's done that because of John,
Well, yeah, totally. I totally agree. But it's just neat to see that it's lasted this long. And I think, John, you got to take the bows for that.
Yep. He's done a good job.
Well, it's been fun. And, I think I told you guys when we had our first meeting, I said, I think I got enough energy to run it through December. This would have been in 2009. Yeah. So, because you guys said, are we going to be able to keep this up? And I'm more enthusiastic about it now than I was then. It's a fun project, cool. And we're here and we got the studio set up, and I just think it's opening a lot of doors for a lot of people, and I think we have a chance to make a difference. I really do. So I really do want to encourage people to keep being part of the community. And as always, the discussion will continue on our website, MormonExpression.com. And thanks to everyone.
Good night.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.
So are we going to do an after discussion? Yeah, that we're just keep
we have to, right?
Broadcasting.
Glenn's on.
Those are always the best ones.
Who wants to start swearing first? Is that...
I thought I swore like 4 or 5 times.
Did you?
Yeah.
Only one caller, though, huh? Well, I guess that was...
Well, but the one caller worked, so that's better
yeah,
than...
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
And it only took us 15, 20 minutes to get things...
Yeah, I thought we'd have more callers.
Well, you know.
Maybe if you put your mic
up on the chat room.
Well, you know, who wants to interrupt a good backslapping session like we have going on? You know?